Meridon, Wideacre Book 3, written by Philippa Gregory and read by Charlie Sanderson.
Chapter 1. I don't belong here, I said to myself, before I even opened my eyes. It was my morning ritual, to ward off the smell and the dirt and the fights and the noise of the day, to keep me in that bright green place in my mind, which had no proper name. I called it Wide. I don't belong here, I said again, a dirty-faced 15-year-old girl, frowsy-eyed from sleep, blinking at the hard grey light filtering through the grimy window. I looked up to the arched ceiling of the caravan, the damp sacking near my face as I lay on the top bunk, and then I glanced quickly to my left, to the bunk, to see if Dandy was awake. Dandy, my black-eyed, black-haired, equally dirty-faced sister. Dandy, the lazy one, the liar, the thief. Her eyes, dark as blackberries, twinkled at me. I don't belong here, I whispered once more to the dream world of Wide, which faded even as I called to it. Then I said aloud to Dandy, getting up. Did you dream of it, Sarah? She asked me softly, calling me by my magic secret name, the name I knew from my dreams of Wide, the magic name I use in that magic land. Yes, I said, and I turned my face away from her to the stained wall and tried not to mind that Wide was just a dream and a pretense, that the real world was here, here where they knew nothing of Wide and never even heard of such a place, where, except for Dandy, they would not call me Sarah when I had once asked. They had laughed at me and gone on calling me by my real name, Meriden. What did you dream? Dandy probed. She was not cruel, but she was too curious to spare me. I dreamed I had a father, a great big fair-headed man, and he lifted me up, high, high, up onto his horse, and I rode before him, down a lane away from our house and past some fields, then up a path, which went higher and higher, and through a wood, and out to the very top of the fields, and he pointed his horse to look back down the way we had come, and I saw our house, a lovely square yellow house, small as a toy house on the green below us. Go on, said Dandy.
Shut up, you two,
a muffled voice growled in the half-light of the caravan.
It's still night.
It ain't, I said, instantly argumentative. My father's dark, tousled head peered round the head of his bunk and scowled at me.
I'll strap you,
he warned me.
Go to sleep.
I said not another word. Dandy waited, and in a few moments she said, in a whisper so soft that our Da, his head buried beneath the dirty blankets, could not hear.
What then? We rode home, I said,
screwing my eyes tight to relive the vision of the little red-headed girl and the fair man and the great horse and the cool green of the arching beech trees over the drive. And then he let me ride alone. Dandy nodded, but she was unimpressed. We had both been on and around horses since we were weaned, and I had no words to convey the delight of the great strides of the horse in the dream.
He was telling me how to ride, I said.
My voice went quieter still, and my throat tightened.
He loved me, I said miserably. He did. I could tell by the way he spoke to me. He was my dad, but he loved me.
And then? Said Dandy, impatient.
I woke up, I said. That was all. Didn't you see the house, or your clothes, or the food? She asked, disappointed.
No, I said. Not this time.
No, she said, and was silent a moment. I wish I could dream of it like you do, she said longingly. Tain't fair.
A warning grunt from the bed made us lower our voices again.
I wish I could see it, she said.
You will, I promised. It is a real place. It is real somewhere. I know that somewhere it is a real place, and we will both be there, someday.